tweet at TodaySOR.
Just a reminder again that our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn, will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so to take your questions on COVID-19. You can text them to us on 51551 or email todaysor@rte.ie. Now, we know that many businesses have had to change the way they operate to try to survive COVID-19. But what about criminal enterprises? You might remember that when teenager Keane Mulready Woods was murdered and dismembered, that Gardaí reminded anybody using recreational drugs at weekends that they were funding murder. But weekends, as we knew them, they're a thing of the past, really, and we get used to life now on lockdown, so to speak. What impact is all of that having on the illegal drugs trade? Well, I'm joined on the phone by Nicola Tallant, the investigations editor with the Sunday World, and also by Social Democrat TD for Dublin Central, Gary Gannon. Good morning to you both. Nicola, I saw Gardaí saying that they expected the demand for recreational drugs to fall during the crisis. What actually has happened, say, first of all, to the cocaine business?
Yeah, I'd say plummet is more likely the word, to be honest with you, because, as you know, cocaine is a recreational drug, along with ecstasy, that are largely taken by people going out at night after work or for the weekends, and they're largely taken in pubs and clubs. So, you know, that as a product has suffered from COVID-19, both those products. Now, I have noticed myself there seems to be an awful lot of movement for dealers to be offering more cannabis for sale, and obviously there's no problem at the moment with the heroin supply. A different drug, you know, the heroin is basically being sold to people who are addicted, who are sick, who will come out no matter what to buy their drug, and you can still see the dealers on the streets, albeit wearing gloves and masks to do their work there. But look, drug gangs by and large, and up the scale, which is really where the effects of the scale will come down to us eventually. But crime groups are really themselves like a virus, and they're always adapting and moving and changing and morphing, really, so if they can continue, taking from society, yeah, and taking money and stuff from society. So they're a very adaptable economy, unlike the normal economy, although there is no governance and there is no banking system. They also don't have to pay wages at a time like this, so they're probably more robust than the rest of the economy.
Yeah, Gary Gannon, just as we've been hearing there from Nicola, cocaine sales plummeting, but dealers obviously are resourceful. What are you hearing yourself, or what are you coming across about the kind of ways they've come up with to get around these problems?
I suppose just in preparation for this morning's call, I gave a call around to some of the local-based community projects, and anecdotally what they're seeing is an increase in drug-related intimidation, where the weekend market for cocaine use has absolutely plummeted. Clearly, what you have then is dealers trying to balance their own books by calling in their debts, and how they're doing that is being a lot more forceful, a lot more aggressive in terms of knowing where the person that owes them money is. They're in their house, and they're going to the door and they're confronting them and intimidating not only them but their family also to pay their debts. So that seems to be a problem. There's also been a market change in the type of drugs that people are taking. So weed and cannabis is more in use now too. And also, Sean, if you consider the factors that lead a person to take drugs or get involved in this sort of industry, taking them more than selling it, it's anxiety, the loneliness, boredom, a removal from the workplace. All of that has been magnified by 10 during this pandemic. So that's increased the need for people to find a form of escapism. They're finding it in different types of drugs now, but also increased use of alcohol, and the dynamics that creates for families is one that isn't good.
Yeah, Nicola, clearly, as Gary is saying there, the gangs have intensified their debt collection operation, as it were. What measures are, how are the Gardaí then adapting, in your view, to the changing circumstances?
Yeah, and funny, just to return to that for a moment, that happened before, after 2008. There was very heavy-handed approach to debt collection, because all the way up the line, there's more intimidation for money to be brought in. So that has certainly been seen before. At the time, after 2008, there was actually enforcers sent back from Spain, from the major group over there, in order to, collect those debts. But the guards are saying that they're very much monitoring the situation, as are Interpol and Europol, who are releasing reports and who are constantly bringing together evidence and anecdotal evidence from around the world, so as we can get an idea of what's coming down the line here. But the guards are saying that they haven't, they've kept the resources up in the crime and in the drugs and organised crime bureau, and in the drug units. So they haven't been affected by this new community policing and emergency plans, and they will be continuing and, in actual fact, doubling up their efforts to keep an eye on these groupings to see if there's any opportunities they can get at the same time while things are in flux.
And Gary, what about the current lockdown and what it has meant for people looking for help from the addiction services?
Yeah, it's been very substantial. You've seen addiction services limit the capacity by which they can deliver vital services. So you see projects offering counselling sessions through Zoom. Now, if you can imagine, we're all taking Zoom calls at the moment, but they're not very intimate. So whereas you actually people sitting in front of you talking about some very private issues, and doing that over an internet connection is certainly not easy. When you think about the impact it's having on hostel workers, people who are in the front line of providing services in hostels, they're absolutely terrified at the moment that if the virus does get involved in these hostels, it is taken on, and they have to isolate themselves, there's a fear that maybe they won't be replaced as staff, and then those services will plummet. There's people who've been in addiction treatments for years, people who've gone to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and that's all of a sudden stopped. So that's going to create a long-term problem. I think very quickly, when this pandemic subsides, we need to be sure that we're investing in these particular areas very quickly, that people can get the treatments that are needed, and we're not losing a generation of people, as we've done previously, to drugs once again, because this is having a marked impact on people's health and people's choices. So there is anecdotal evidence that's emerging now that this is going to create problems longer term.
Yeah, Nicola, what about the added risk to other members of households if more people are taking drugs in that confined space?
Well, I mean, we heard last week the services that are looking after people involved in domestic violence, Women's Aid, were making calls just for people to make sure that they still contact the guards. Today, the guards are saying that they're very much going to, you know, prioritise that area. There's people at home in very dangerous situations with no outlet, and people who would have gone out to work, and maybe there they could make a phone call or, you know, speak to people that have visitors coming in the house, in and out of the houses, and eyes on what's happening. That's all gone. So there's a lot of people out there, you know, really, truly isolated. We're all giving out about not being able to do the usual things, but, you know, there are people in very dangerous situations out there.
Although the Gardaí, very emphatic, their chief superintendent in this area was on Morning Ireland earlier saying that they were going to hit back very hard at these kind of instances of domestic violence, and there would be no let up during this crisis.
Yeah, and I think reminding people as well that, you know, policing has not shut down. In actual fact, it's up to game in a way. There's a lot of patrols on the streets, and, you know, even going back to the drug dealers and getting their product through. There's a lot of borders around Europe that are closed while freight is moving and products are moving. It's very much being policed, and also the streets are empty and there's checkpoints, places where they weren't. So it's not as easy for them all to move around as much, you know. But back to the domestic violence issue, yeah, the message has been very clear from the guards that they are there, they're operating, and in actual fact, they're going to take a proactive approach on it and contact people with prior incidences of domestic violence to make sure they're okay.
And Gary, I suppose in the wake of the Hutch Kinahan feud, or at least when it was at its most intense, particularly around the inner city, resources and promises were made to the people there in the north inner city, the reopening, for instance, of Fitzgibbon Street Garda Station. What has become of those promises made in a very high-profile way?
I suppose tumbleweeds. Fitzgibbon Street Garda Station remains closed. There was a service promised down on Rutland Street School, for example, which would be a one-stop shop for lots of different community services. That still hasn't happened yet. Look, the drugs, the open drug dealing that was going on in the inner city that led to this particular feud, I mean, that still happens. The more extreme violent aspects of it where people were shooting each other, that stopped. But the drugs, the drug-related intimidation, the open drug dealing, the reasons by which people take drugs and the mental health sides of that, none of that has been addressed. And I suppose one of the things I often said when this particular feud was happening, that you can't just have a Mulvey report focusing on a small little geographical area in the inner city, because this trade is interconnected. Some of the same people involved in the feud in Louth are involved in the inner city. They're up in Finglas or in other parts of the country as well. This is a multinational trade that's not going to be addressed with simple promises to a small little area. It has to be confronted on a national scale.
Okay, we'll leave it there. My thanks to you both, Gary Gannon, Social Democrat TD for Dublin Central, and also Nicola Tallant, crime editor with the Sunday World.